You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
We are live, and welcome to an exciting new episode of Low Key on the We Libertarians Networks. I am your host, Harry, aka The Moving Target, bringing you guys a nice, exciting episode. This one should be fun. You know, it's April Fool's Day when we're recording this, and, you know, freaking hate this day. It used to be fun as a kid pre-internet. Now it's just kind of like, the joke is done, but that's not here nor there. Let me introduce the cast of characters as we get ready for this episode. Let's bring in Reinhold. Reinhold, you can say hi. Yep, and he is muted. He always skips sound.
And of course, I'm muted.
Yeah.
No, I muted because my dogs started barking at each other just as we went live. So I thought I'd spare everybody that. Then I forgot.
Right, because nobody likes dogs. If you had cats, it'd be all about it, because cats help podcast out. You know. Then we also got Vincent. Why don't you go say hi?
Hey, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Yeah, we're doing good. It's sitting around a Monday, the week before the eclipse.
Just notified that this is your 10-year anniversary for We're Libertarians Network.
Is it my 10 years?
Twitch.
Is it on Twitch? Mm-hmm. Serious?
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I did something very strange today. I actually clicked on the button last week and I set up some sources and I'm actually streaming to my Twitch page.
Oh, nice.
He's streaming. What is happening? We're forcing him to do things.
I know.
I wanted to do the YouTube too, but I was like, I have to get that all straightened around because I've got like five different accounts and it's wanting to go to the wrong one. Won't do it right. So
Take that, Dre. Ryan's got his album. He's gonna have his album out first.
Hey, just watch who's producing it. You know, as long as it's not signed to Bad Boy Records.
Oh God! You see some of the memes like that's why Pac Diddy wanted Pac dead because Pac knew the truth.
Oh God! Did you watch that skit I sent you about it? Where they told Diddy to get on the ground. As he goes to get on the ground, he does like the shoulder shuffle.
Oh no! I didn't see that. That's
so fucking funny.
Oh good. Yeah. Have you seen we're talking about the alleged crimes against Sean Puffy, aka Diddy, aka Puff Daddy.
Yeah, it's alleged as of right now, even though, you know, motherfucker got raided. So,
all right, so that video with the docs, they have video, they have an iPhone videos, iPhone quality. That's what you guys talk about. Like, I got this iPhone. Do you want like that 4K quality of evidence brought against you? I'm going to stick with these cheap Androids so it's all grainy.
See, that can break it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all grainy. Our
cameras are better than the Apple iPhones. Come on. let's not be dissing the Android.
Quite right. I'm hoping my judge is an iPhone user. And like, yeah, it's grainy.
Yeah, it's so weird.
That could be anything. It's digital.
Where's your read receipts?
Yeah.
So, Reinhold, you said you were watching Cowboy Bebop before you came on the air?
I watched the first three episodes of Cowboy Bebop on Crunchyroll because that was the only place I could find where I could watch it. And okay. Then we'll watch the fourth one or anything else.
It's okay. I've got it on DVD.
Ask questions.
We can do watch party. What's it?
Is the dub bad? Because to be honest, the voice acting on that what I watched was atrocious.
I mean, the dub isn't bad. It's definitely dated compared to what it is now. Mm-hmm. But I can definitely see what you mean by that, because they were recording in booths.
Yeah.
Trying to figure shit out.
Different. Yeah, I would say, like, it was real stilted. The conversations weren't really, like, flowing or whatever. And it's, like, typical what I remember seeing from anime back in the day. But it's a...
It's an old anime.
Rough. Mm-hmm. Now, I did do something else besides that. When I hit the third one and it ran out, I thought, well, let me see if I can find some of these.
It's so funny. Reinhold, I don't know what you were talking, but you backed up and you cut off halfway through talking and then came back in with the word Netflix. Let me
turn the gate down. Yeah, so I was trying to find where I could watch, you know, to see if it got better. Mm-hmm. And I found that Cowboy Bebop was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So I watched that. And that I enjoyed.
The live action Netflix one?
Yes.
Reinhold died.
Oh my god.
I need to process that. That's just... Right, really broke. I have cut his mic, not allowing him to speak.
Oh my god.
Oh god. Right, hold.
I have.
John Woo is great. I love him. And it was actually, it flowed better.
No.
I know they changed the story a little bit.
A little bit my ass. My ass.
Katrina didn't kill Asimov. I get that, and I'm spoiling, I'm sure. But, you know, that's a different character arc, but she died anyway. It didn't matter.
Close to 30-year-old anime at this point. Come on. It's like spoiling the end of Casablanca. I can't wait till they remake Casablanca. I want them to remake Casablanca. I want Jake Gyllenhaal in it. I want The Rock. Okay? I want The Rock in it.
Y'all black cast. See,
I want Chris Pratt, okay, as the inspector.
No. But Chris Pratt's the plane. Chris Pratt's the plane.
I mean, some of the stuff I like in the live action show, the graphics where they're turning on the computer stuff on the motorcycle and then pop and the digital stuff, that really looked good. And I enjoyed that part of it. I enjoyed the acting in it a lot more, because it wasn't as stilted. It was more realistic kind of dialogue. It was still not the greatest dialogue, but it was still, you know, I think it flowed better than the anime did. Of course, I know the anime is 30 years old and they had what they had, but I don't know. I felt like I got a little bit more story out of it.
I mean,
I don't know how to explain that, but.
For me,
the short form on the anime of the 25 second minute or whatever, the short form that they were doing, I think forced them to rush a lot. And the story really is choppy in the original anime. If you know what I mean, what I'm trying to say, but it looked like they were building to something though, because there were, you know, each episode built on something from the last one, like the data dog.
Yeah, like
was in the next two episodes. So I figure they're going to end up bringing all, like every episode, they're going to have something new that's going to build up. And then at the end of the season, it would be something pretty grand. That's where I figure it's going. But
like,
I'm not saying it was necessarily bad. I saw what they were trying to do, and I saw good parts of it, but I also had some criticisms.
I think you are a man full of a lot of hate. And
No, I don't think that's what it is.
You're blind, and probably in one eye. Don't know which one.
Here's the thing. I feel like... Me, Harry, you and I are more used to how anime flows,
mm-hmm.
because we know how that's how it is. Yeah. It's not an issue for us, mm-hmm. where it might seem it can, from an outside perspective, if all you're watching is live action and people talking to each other.
I am not going to take that excuse from the Scooby-Doo watching guy, okay? Yeah, this guy watched Scooby-Doo Flaps and thought it was probably the best thing in the world, and gets anime. I just can't see this fleeing flow.
It was very stilted in comic books, right?
I mean, animations that look like things were just on rails and just kind of float across the screen because someone literally dragged it off and took photos. Just can't look at this. This is awful. Like, come off it.
It was a static background, and yeah, I understand. Yeah.
What did you think of the animation?
I mean, here's my thing about that type of anime. I think that it lends itself really good to graphic novel, the anime style and the way it's drawn. I don't think it flows very well as an animation. Right? You know what I'm saying? No. I think they're not doing enough frames per second. I don't think they're doing enough flowing in the, you know, and I know there's a limitation to that. They can't do that. I get it, but I'm just saying I think it's very pretty in many respects, but I think it would lend itself better to a graphic novel.
The human hand is is the limitation, right?
They're also drawing every frame by hand at this point.
Yeah, there's like three people drawing this thing.
No, I get it. I get it. That's just what I see with it, you know. And true, I mean, nowadays you can do a lot more because you can do everything inside of a computer and aided and everything else. But that was just my thought on it. And I had the same problem when I watched G-Force when I was growing up. I love that show. I watched it all the time. I was on Facebook yesterday or the day before, and somebody posted, "Hey, do you remember this show?" And it was G-Force. I was like, "Yeah, I grew up with that." And that's anime. That's from that time. It was in the 70s. So, or late 60s, early 70s. So it was stilted. It was the same thing, the animation style that I remember from that time. But I mean, it was a limitation of what they could do because they didn't have the money to spend the time to get the people they needed to make it, you know, flow better. So it seems jagged. It seems kind of choppy when you watch it, in my opinion.
I'm stunned.
Maybe you could tell me what you liked about Cowboy Bebop, because you seem to think I would really like it. And I'm not saying I don't like it. I just don't. It
definitely fits in thematically. Mind you, there's a lot more going on with it, and the amount of actual storytelling on top of it. Mm-hmm. The actual designs of all the ships, mm-hmm. they are all handmade based on kind of doing a dystopian, futuristic feel. So that's why everything feels like it's knobs, and the way it's designed is by hand in order to have that feel to it. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of those things, if this is an anime that was like, hey, we want you to sell toys, and they give the director carte blanche to do whatever, and then he made an anime that's like about spiritualism and mm-hmm. and societal pressures and the police force, and there's a lot of elements here. You're
dealing with your past trauma.
Here's some things to remember.
Moving forward.
What? Here's some things to remember, because I don't know if you can think back on this because you've seen it, you know the whole story and everything. I've seen the first three episodes. Mm-hmm. There was none of that spiritualism and all that stuff in there. It was very light if it was there. It's mostly him dealing with three separate stories where he was barely involved almost. And it was just like, you know, he was partially an instigator, but a lot of stuff was going on around it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like it was that heavy at that point. Like, you had the guys trying to catch the dog. That was the one episode. It was just all about catching the dog. There wasn't really anything spiritual or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I get that. I see a couple scenes here and there when they've got the rose and the, you know, turning to the red and stuff, that there's something going on with him. And in the live action, I got a little bit more backstory in the one episode that I saw there that I didn't get yet in the first three episodes. Right. That he was, you know, he was a guy named Fearless. Right. So that's not mentioned in the first three. None of that stuff is there. So it could just be that I haven't been into it long enough to get some of that story.
Yeah,
that you guys know about because you've seen it.
Yeah, it's also much more subtle storytelling in comparison of them just showing thematically of why the rose is there and information.
Like part of it too is, and I was thinking about this when I was watching it, it felt like they were expecting you to fill in a lot of details yourself. If that makes sense. Which is good and bad, but the good part about it is it does kind of make the story different for everybody a little bit because everybody has their own kind of what they filled in that might be missing that they kind of think about.
That and also it's a lot of foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. And you don't know that it's foreshadowing because you haven't seen the stuff, but because it's foreshadowing, it's when it has the small moments in the narrative where you're looking at it and you're like, huh, I don't really understand why this is here. And then like 8 episodes later go, oh, this makes sense.
I get a feeling that dog is going to come in big someday or down the line.
Yeah, like
the way they kind of talked about it with the little TV spot at the end with the TV show for the Cowboys. Yeah, but the chip thing, that's going to probably come into play somewhere down the line. Those types of things, I see them try to set things up. I'm just not seeing any payoff of it yet. I'm not seeing any, you know, in the first 3 episodes, you just don't get a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I think the uniqueness of it at the time is probably what was bringing people to watch it because it was a little bit different, kind of quirky, you know, that sort of thing. But it wasn't narratively, I wasn't getting a lot out of it.
But like I said, I
understand completely. It's the first 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was trying something new with this. Like you said, it was supposed to be something else. And he's trying to do something with it. And I believe because you guys like it so much that it gets there. Mm-hmm. So I'm not down to not watch it anymore. Okay. I just, you know, I'm just letting you know that the first 3 was kind of like, it's okay. It wasn't earth-shattering or anything like that for me. And I appreciate those details you talk about, the hand-drawn and everything else. I think they captured that a lot in the live action. It really felt that same way. You know what I mean? With some of the tech stuff that they were doing, the digital, the computers, things like that.
So yeah, visually, that element, the Netflix live action is visually there. It is visually, it gets the point. Story-wise, no. It kind of like misses it. It misses the mark. Yeah. While there's are the things, well, the pieces are there, they don't have any of the soul that's also there inside the anime. So,
and I understand completely because I've read the Wheel of Time books, mm-hmm. every single word, blah blah blah. I love those books. When they make the live action show, they have to cut a lot out. They have to change the story. They have to do that.
Yeah,
and so a lot of people are complaining about that, but I'm like, yeah, I understand it. It's just got to be that way because that's how it is. Because they're only giving them 10 episodes a year or 8 episodes a year and 8 seasons to do it. And it's like with the longest stories ever made, you know, by like a million words or so. So they, you know, the live action, I can see where somebody who's probably watched the anime, which I haven't seen yet. So I don't know the differences yet to say whether it's different or better or worse or whatever. I can't compare the stories yet because I haven't seen the end of either. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because so like the Netflix is the live action One Piece, which I did enjoy it. Did I also keep watching it after like and have watched the anime? I just go like, this thing jumps massive. So many different character arcs are removed. Things are just pushed, and people are in different places. But it's still found enjoyable, just like the One Piece movies, where they did a retelling of Chopper joining the crew, and the retelling has like, you know, Frankie and Robin there. It's like, okay, this is different, you know. So.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of good things about the One Piece live action and the actual animation. So
yeah, I mean, you won't like
One Piece someday, but
you won't like One Piece. You don't think? Stay away from One Piece. You won't like it.
I mean, I like The Last Airbender. I mean, I don't know how much different it is than that. So
much drastically different.
The big thing that one of the things to think about when you think about Last Airbender is Last Airbender, Avatar is a solid mixture of Western comedy and jokey slapstick and Japanese storytelling and animation concepts mashed together. That's why, like, the Netflix Avatar The Last Airbender live action was failing so hard, because they went all into super serious, none of the jokes, and we're gonna make Aang super duper serious, even though there's literally episodes where he just wants to go ride sleds and have fun, but you know, he's serious and has the weight of the world.
Get the heart out of it, probably. Yeah.
It's one of the things of
it took.
Avatar is a combination of two elements that made it what it was. So it got a lot of people who, that's why a lot of anime people like it, and a lot of Western animation, or just like the US, like it so much because it's that meshing.
Yep. Yeah. It also removed a lot of neat story arcs that are like pivotal moments of people talk about the show. They completely just removed. It's like, these are pivotal moments. Like, hey, but we got Cabbage Guy. Dude, I honestly, you could have cut Cabbage Guy.
Yeah.
I could have cut Cabbage. You could have cut Cabbage.
Yeah, but then I'm sitting here just like, but you've destroyed Katara's whole character.
Yeah.
I'm my own master. She has nothing to do. She has nothing to do now. What's the point of her being here?
Wow, that's a quick, you just started a master now. That's neat. Neat.
The Avatar live action has a lot of problems. It has a lot of problems as well. Like, oh, these two siblings bicker all the time. These two siblings bicker all the time because Sokka is a country bumpkin who thinks men are better than women. So them getting in a fight that releases Aang from the ice at the beginning of the series is this, oh, we kind of got stuck. Hey, Katara, could you use your powers to pull the boat back to us? And then she accidentally breaks the ice. So it just completely changes the element of your powers are based on your emotions and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I know. And then just like the whole, like the differences, like, you know, like even the Avatar, the TV show just tries to, like that first episode, tried to get people to understand this is not magic. This is martial art, you know, but hey, it's fine.
But I do say that on the animation part of it, the voice dub did bother me a little bit, just because the acting was really bad. The voice acting, not the quality so much, you know, like it wasn't like to a tin can or anything like that. It's just the stiltness of it. Like, it didn't seem like they were really having a conversation when they were having conversations, supposed to be having conversations. It seemed like somebody said a line and somebody else said a line and somebody said, you know, it doesn't seem like it flowed as a conversation. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with how the voice actors were voicing the lines, as opposed to probably the, you know, the original probably had a better flow to it, I would imagine.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't
easily be the direction.
Right. Yeah, it's just like when like some of the grunts that and oomphs and ants and that sort of things were like they're putting them in there because they should be in there, but it's like didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it was forced.
I mean, yeah, but they also have a lot of Western voice actors doing these roles that were doing other things. Like Spike Spiegel is done by Steve Blum, who does Wolverine from the animated stuff. So. He would be, it honestly, you could easily see that that's where his baseline direction comes from, because that's where he's used to, is the more of the Western cartoony stuff of it.
Yeah, and some of the choices for the voices for some of the characters was really kind of off for me. Like on the dog one with the old lady, she put that voice was a bad choice for her. Little things like that I noticed, you know, and I just think that because I am not into the story as much as you guys are, I notice those things more because I'm not catching the flow of what's going on yet.
I mean, it could also be the fact of the what I like to call the overhype syndrome, where
I know that Harry wanted me to see this because he thought it'd be up my alley and my type of humor, and I feel like it could be. But it wasn't in those first three episodes yet. It was like, I can see where they're going here. I can see what they're trying to do. And I appreciate what they're trying to do. I just don't think they landed it in those first three exactly the way I would like to have seen it. And that's not a knock on the show itself overall. I mean, a lot of series have a rough start in those first few episodes or first season, you know, like, say an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. And then it kicks into better gear later on. You know what I'm saying? I get that. And I'm not saying that this show is bad. I'm just saying I didn't get out of the first three episodes. I didn't get what I was hoping to kind of see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely understand. What I'm more mean of is that because we talk very highly of it and it's become a kind of a thing of you should watch it, you should watch it, you should watch it. Mm-hmm. There is a latent element of extra critique that you put onto it because people keep telling you to watch it. That's something that is,
but
while it might not be like, it's not going to turn you off of it entirely, but mm-hmm. I've done that where there's an entire anime series that I cannot watch because somebody hyped it so much that when I tried to watch the first episode, I was so hypercritical that I wasn't having fun.
Now here's the thing. I do want to see more of it.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I can see what they're doing. I can see that they're going somewhere in the fact that they keep bringing these elements into the next episode and kind of leaving them there to kind of simmer. So I know they're going somewhere with the story and I'm interested in it to find out where that goes. Cause I've got a feeling it's not going to be just a dud.
Right.
Based mainly on you guys have a reaction to it, that it can't be that. I mean, it can't be like watching the end of Game of Thrones at this point, you know, you wouldn't be selling me on a Game of Thrones at the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've got a feeling it goes somewhere.
If you watch the live action, that'll happen to you.
Yes.
Beagle, Spike, Beagle, wake up, cowboy.
Stop.
I said, what I liked about the live action was it flowed better for the conversation, but that's just to be expected because it's live action and it's easier to do that way because you got the actors acting off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the main character. I like the actor. So I like to see what he's going to do with it. And I like the aesthetic of it. That nitty gritty, you know, dystopian future, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
I like that, what they were doing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving things to the future. Everything's not perfect. They're still especially like the 90s, especially the cool of the Gene Roddenberry stuff is like, this is the perfect humanity in the future. It's like, well, it's probably not going to be like that. It's probably going to be more like this. The ships are going to be falling apart, you know?
Yeah. So I liked Enterprise so much because it was like, you could see they were right on the edge of getting there. And it was they were trying to invent things on the fly. Things were breaking, you know, that sort of thing. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When things are breaking, they're having to cook food, go pick up food, you know?
Yeah.
Having like the captain's table and stuff like that and do like, oh, man, yeah. And then having the Vulcans just being like how they're scared of humanity and how they're treating it. That was always neat there, you know, because it was that in between of, you know, like, because, you know, in, you know, when you're watching the original series, you know, like they respected humanity, but you knew like it could not have been always that way, you know? So, yeah. And it was neat.
That's what I really liked about that. That series to me, I thought, and everybody knocks it. I'm like that. I think that series is one of the better ones because you did get that sense of this could be 20 years from now, or, you know, like in the near future, not 300 years in the future. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing the problems of humanity trying to fix those still there, still dealing with things, you know, inventing the shields, inventing transporter technology and that sort of on the fly as they're going.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff was kind of fun to me to watch. So,
getting different things. Like, I didn't like when they got to the Enterprise critique though. When they first learned about like the replicators, like, okay, all right, I didn't like that episode. I was kind of like, no, I want them to cook. This is neat. Watch them to cook in space. I don't want them to have replicators yet. But that's another. All right, that's fine. That's fine. Well, I am glad that you are taking down the road. I hope that you give it the, I can put it like, I hope you just try to enjoy it and just try to focus on enjoying it, not trying to be critical of it. I think if you're going to have a critical eye on it, I think you should do that on a second watch through. I think you should just try to enjoy it and understand what's going on. Just relax, you know. Remember, it's, you know, it's close to 30 years old at this point, you know. Yeah.
So I feel like I'm glad you're still willing to keep watching it. That's another element of like, I don't even know if you have you met Faye yet?
No.
I don't think so. I didn't think Faye was that early on. So like, you even met several core characters to the plot.
If right now
it's just live action.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Introduced early on in live action. I'm like, okay, I know this is somebody who comes on later. I get it.
Faye's that plank of wood in the live action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of. Her story arc gets butchered significantly in the
live action. Yeah, I didn't.
We'll get to that later. That's different.
I don't know though. So in the live in the anime, there was a person who was like the Queen of Hearts or whatever. That's not her, is it? No. It seemed to me like that might be her, but later on or something.
No,
but that's a different person. Okay, because she seems like she's got something to do with the later. She's gonna pop back up somewhere.
Yes. Know? Yes. She's trouble. And she's meant to be that. She's that femme fatale, but in a dystopian world.
I think they were trying to do that with Faye at the beginning of the live action, but it's almost like she just turned their buddy by the end. You know what I mean? Because they did the same thing with her. They locked her in the bathroom. That's why I was thinking it might be the Queen of Hearts person. Yeah. Because they did the same thing kind of to her, where they locked her in there, but. I don't know. It just seemed like.
No, they do lock Faye into a bathroom. That does happen.
So yeah, but she also has a beef,
apparently.
Sometimes. But yeah, it's a whole other thing. But yeah, I want you to keep watching it. I want you to see what you see about it because, again, even though it's early doors, the very first like sense of that feeling that they're trying to be at least somewhat spiritual is when he's having the conversation in the smoky room with the guide. Mm-hmm. On the very first episode, like that's like the very beginning hints to the show that like Spike has more to him than just being like a bounty hunter who's just trying to get food and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got the sense that they were like I said, they're building something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It didn't show itself very much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just. If I was a showrunner and I was doing that show now, I'd say like you need to do a little bit more here and here and here to keep people into that storyline over arc, because it seems right now you're just doing episodic stories. You know what I mean? That's kind of how it felt. The first three just seemed like just episodic stories where the story was the characters that weren't Spike. Right, it was the other like Asimov and mm-hmm. yeah, Katarina or whatever. It was their story, and he was just in there messing around, mm-hmm. as opposed to this is actually Spike's story, and it's overall through the story, and we need to see more of that. I think in the first three episodes.
I mean, there's a lot of
my opinion. If I was show running it, that's what I would say. Mm-hmm. But
that there's the other element you have to add into it that it was since it was made in the early 90s and meant to sell toys.
I agree. I get that. Yeah.
No, they're meant for syndication. Because they're meant for syndication, them having occasional like one-off things where that way you can put it on TV and let it run instead of it just being a serialized thing. Because in order for the kids to see the thing to buy the toys, you have to put it on television whenever it's available. So that's also another element you have to add in that even though it can't be fully syndicated, fully serialized, because massive serialization wasn't as big at that point.
Hey, Jackie. Yeah, I was watching some of the Dalton City Hall protests. But if you keep coughing, I will clear the room. I will clear this room. If you I hear one clap, okay? One clap. Clear this room.
Yeah, so... This became not the topic Harry wanted to talk about.
No. I'm going to segue out of this right from Reinhold's bad takes to back to the eclipse. because I think this whole podcast has did a whole year of showing that Reinhold has some good taste, but he can't taste burnt food. Anyways, no. So next week will be the eclipse. But this time we have gone through the eclipse. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be amazing time. But since we're living in Indiana, it's probably gonna snow and be hazy rain because we won't see a dang thing. We'll just know it's dark and all the lights are turned on. Mm-hmm. It'll freaking suck because it's freaking Indiana. What I think is what's also neat is the because I thought like all the eclipse glasses are going to be sold out, but no, there's tons of them everywhere. There's
all over the people, place. All over
the place, getting ready for it. People are having them. My wife was like, "We need to get some." I was like, "I bought them months ago. They're sitting in here. I have them in the back." So you know, we're ready to go.
I mean, you don't still have the ones from 2017 hanging around?
No. No, I don't have those. I used to cardboard box for that one.
Besides, I've got welding masks, so I'm just going to use that. That's what I used when I was a kid, when we had one. My dad pulled out his welding mask out of the trunk of the car, and we were like six or so, and that's how we looked at it.
Well, Ted in the chat, we were going to talk about the eclipse stuff, then we got sidetracked by being weebs. So it's a thing that happens here. So we talk about stuff, but we're not like, we just kind of talk about whatever we feel like at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the eclipse is like, here's the thing. Like, I didn't even know it was happening at all. I wasn't paying any attention to my work. Goes, well, during this day, we're going to give you an hour off paid to go look at it if you want to, and then they scheduled me off for it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Nice. Yeah, my daughter is getting two hours off for the eclipse, so they're gonna get home early. It's gonna be great.
Me and producer Paul on Mondays is gonna sit around, watch anime, and when the eclipse happens, we're both gonna pause it, go outside and look at it, and then come back and continue watching because we both have Monday off.
What I think is like, it's nutty is a lot of the things that they're talking about, like how they actually think people are going to look up at the eclipse and like walk into traffic. And I don't know, like I don't think anyone will do that, but it's just kind of like how they're just assured that this is what's going to happen. People are going to like stare up, be at all of this thing, and just nutty things are going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be people who look at it without protection, other eyes.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. Hospitals are prepared for stupid people in the path of totality.
Hey. All I know is that when we get the Mr. Beast video of fixing people's eyes that got ruined by the eclipse, mm-hmm. and he gets 200 million views. I mean,
yep.
Come on.
Yep.
I heard that's why a lot of schools were cutting their kids out, because they didn't want to be responsible for managing them for that. It's like, not our responsibility. Go home. Mm-hmm. Let your parents take care of that.
Yeah, don't do that. Jake says, in the 80s, school made us go outside to look. Lulz. Yeah, you know, it's the 80s. I guess it's stronger eyes back then. The Gus Libertarians do that chill. They're always wound too tight. That's because they're not regular, okay? You know, gotta do some more yoga. You know,
we also are the low key stuff, so we really don't even like. I don't even like talking about politics at all. Yeah. So
yeah.
That the more we avoid the politics, the happier I'll be.
The other thing with so hospitals are prepared for people staring at it. Of course, they're not ready if everyone goes.
Are we still doing me? By the way.
The what?
Are we still booing me?
Yeah, Brian, that stays.
The whole show? It stays just for a while.
The season.
The season? No, so the thing about the eclipse that's hilarious to me is it happens every time something like this happens where everybody's just like, oh, there has to be something going on. It's the rapture. It's the three dark days. Like, there are people immediately buying in. They're immediately buying into the random conspiracies or concepts that are like, oh, this is the beginning of the rapture. It's like, why? Stop whole religions panicking. Were, Stop
whole religions. Panicking. I mean, the Seventh-day Adventists mm-hmm. was a religion based off of an end-of-the-world prophecy.
Yeah.
Right. And then when it didn't happen, he says, oh, the date was wrong. It's this date instead. And they just kept going and then finally just dropped the whole pretense eventually and kept their little church thing going. But that was how it started. It was end of the world prophecies, mm-hmm. I think for 1900 or something like it was 1900 was one of the dates.
Yeah. I mean,
that's one of the best part about like end of the world prophecies. You just keep making it further and longer.
Yeah, it's a prophecy. You can just say that you were just wrong the first time. You see, I have this hidden box of things that tells me what's going to happen. And I'm just gonna hide in this box, and you can't see the box, but this box says what the prophecy is.
Yeah, if we've been at Armageddon for 50 years, yeah,
mm-hmm, absolutely.
Oh man, Hody's Hody. Here. Hey, it's Hody. I can't say my joke because Hody's here. I'm too much. But let's just say it.
Hody, you missed my great take on some anime.
Yeah,
sorry.
All I know is that my golden slate says.
Whoa. How about let's clean it up. I've got this golden manga written in ancient Egyptian that I can read.
My Egyptian god. Oh god.
And I used my millennial eye to read this.
Dum 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 dum. Yeah. Yeah.
The millennium prophecy.
Yep.
But honestly,
well, like, yeah, we're so jaded now. Yeah. Something bad could happen. We just go like,
yeah.
So y'all starting to come along to where I'm at, where it's just like, whatever, you know,
whatever.
I mean, that's just
the stuff that I went through before, and we lived through Vietnam and all that bullshit. And everything.
Right, I'm more worried that like if a Vulcan actually came to like Earth, they would just get jumped.
Carjacked.
Yeah, carjacked.
No, it would be like that RDC World skit where they'd be instigating, mm-hmm. getting them to fight each other.
Yes.
Instigating.
God damn.
But, it's the eclipse is very interesting because it's a thing that's happened. It's a rare thing. Everybody's like, oh, mm-hmm. this is so awesome. But yeah. It also instantly piques the same people. It's like, it's gonna snow 2 inches tomorrow. I need to get all the water out of the grocery store now.
Yeah.
It's the same mentality.
Yeah. I was trying to tell people, it's like, so they're saying like the phone line is gonna be down. You think the eclipse is gonna just tear up the phone grid? Like, no, the phone grid is gonna go down because they're gonna be all these people here.
They're talking about we need porta potties and we need roads and stuff to work.
Yeah.
Traffic is going to be a problem.
Yeah, because there's people going to be in cars and they're just going to stop where they are to go look at it.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem. That's why I said, like, I'm not going anywhere while it's happening. You know, I'm just going to stay at home. You know,
I'm lucky enough that I can go out on my porch and I can sit there and just look up and go cool and then go back in. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm probably going to smoke some meat. Okay.
The lunar roast.
Also, make sure that whatever glasses you hopefully you've got your glasses, you got really good ones. You need to get them from T-Boo, okay? make sure your glasses
have
ISO certification on it.
This man tried to save his old family members from it, just deleted T-Boo from their phone in front of us. It's so hilarious.
You know the best part about that? The last time I actually saved all this money, and you know, like let me tell you this. So first, I gatekeeped, right? Got her off there, right?
Yeah.
And then I gaslit her, so she thinks it's my older sister that did it.
What?
I don't even know how I did that.
And then, like, we watched you do it. I need you to keep the girl boss to a minimum, and then it'll be fine.
My wife would send me these links and stuff. Look at this. We can get this for 90% off. I'm like, do you really believe that? Do you really believe what you're going to get?
Yeah, that it's going to be 90% off, but it's going to be made of 90% of nothing.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, just take it off. Take it off phone. I don't want you. You know, mm-hmm. I finally explained to her that they were stealing all her information anyway. So,
yeah.
That's hilarious. But yeah, just make sure you have quality glasses so that way you aren't actually blind by the end.
Yeah, so you can't see.
But you talk about the doomsday people. I mean, they doomsday on anything. I mean, yeah. this is a big deal. So this, of course, you're getting a lot of them coming out of the woodwork. But right. They're doomsdaying on the fact that, you know, trans visual day was the same day as Eastern. You know, it's like, people, come on, chill out.
Come down.
But yeah, it's like this day happens on, and what I really liked is like the path of this one's going this way, and the path of the one from 2017 went that way, and where they intersect, there's a name of a town, and that town translate to this, and it's just like this huge, so 25 loops.
That's where we find.
Yeah,
that's where we find Cthulhu. I see,
and that tells us that Trump is the Antichrist. Okay, which I don't know. I did watch the Trump is the Antichrist video. I watched a 30-minute video of this, and you know what? I kind of believe it. God damn it! They were spitting. I was sitting there pooping, I was like, man. They may be onto something, man. This seems more plausible. Why this keeps coming up? Why he keeps going? It's like, because he's the Antichrist.
No.
I know.
That's what always gets me about the Revelations people. It's like, these are the end of days, and this is going to happen on this day, and it's like. In the Bible, it says you will never know the date it's going to happen. So if you have figured out what the date is, you're automatically not that date.
Also,
because then you would prove God fallible, right? It can't be that. So anybody comes to you and says, this is the date of Armageddon, you can just laugh and say, nope, it's not, because you wouldn't be able to know it.
Well, first off, we don't know if God said that at all. That was written by a crazy man. That was written by a crazy man.
John wasn't crazy. He was just on a lot of peyote.
A lot of peyote. Which, did you see the article talking about put the psychedelics back in the Christianity and make it fun?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, let me tell you. They got ghosts in the blood. Give them the shrooms. They'll get the ghosts out.
It's like, I don't know. Microdose at church. Might go on a Sunday.
Well, there is a.
Hey, it makes
picture. I mean, hey, I can see it.
Hey, Bible study is going to be real because we're going to do the inner work. We're all going to do the inner work.
See, Harry, all I can think of is they microdose and it turns like this devout like Baptist church into like a black Christian church. Is it the loud? Oh yeah, I love it. He's spitting.
All right, hold on. How about the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father knows. Jesus, Matthew 24:36. Jesus, Matthew 24:36, possibly.
Just dropping Bible.
Bro. Jesus said it. It's real, man.
Yeah, but
there you go, Ted.
Who is it? Who is somebody was? Elon Musk.
Oh God.
It was popping off about the Council of Nicaea yesterday, I think.
Did he?
He just laughed.
Another good video, what I recommend watching, because I watched this again on Good Friday, was the Metatron's video talking about the historical arrests, just talking about the historical the history of when Jesus was arrested and why the Romans sent so many people. You know, it's like, so we're going to go arrest Jesus. Like, who is this guy? It's like, it's the Son of a God. Like Hercules? Ooh, get everybody. We're going to need a lot of people.
And there was a April 1st meme spent out today by Kevin Smith. He announced that he was doing a Dogma Remastered. And it's like, if you know the story about why Dogma is not visible anywhere, the movie, it's because of Harvey Weinstein. But
that's okay. Harvey Weinstein's apprentice has got a new movie coming out called The Acolyte.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
TV series. Come on, Colby. Sir. I apologize.
How dare you? There's at least four times the length of suffering.
Going back into the quality release schedule of Disney Plus, where things are things are only a failure because we spent $300 million on everything. You know, you got a like a medium budget on most of this stuff. These things are successes, but yeah, you overspent. Stop it. I'm spending so actually much money.
I actually canceled my Disney Plus because I figured the only thing I really want to watch from there is, for the most part, just the Marvel movies, and I already own most of them anyway, so I can just buy them and save myself some money. What I was paying a month for that.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. Speaking of the April Fool's joke thing, Ryan, hold on. I hate April Fool's Day. It's the fucking worst.
I was trying to do the segue, and we bounced around, but yeah, we came back. It's good.
Because no matter what, like, there's never positive news. You can never trust anything on April Fool's Day. Because no matter what it is, no matter how hype it could be, it's not. It's not that.
Perfect example.
What?
I was saying, perfect example is we have a local city chatter group on Facebook, mm-hmm. and somebody announced that they were putting in a Buc-ee's at the interstate exit. Mm-hmm. And it was all the stuff and had pictures of the Buc-ee's, all this. And it was just like everybody was starting to get hyped up. And then it's like, no, that's April Fool's. Everybody figured it out and was saying it. But it's like you got all these people hyped up now who think that they're going to get a job because they're going to have all these new jobs available. And it's like,
well, sometimes the April Fool's joke does a good job of testing water for things that are ridiculous that do come into place, like Culver's, they made the cheese curd patty. Right, that was an Google's joke, which has kept being brought back by Culver's, which is honestly, it's really good. You feel like crap afterwards, but it tastes really freaking good to have this solid cheese curd on top of your burger. Freaking amazing!
I don't poop for 3 weeks, but it's
then there's the weighted mug. I forget what the company is doing. They make weightlifting equipment, and they made this mug that was like 30 pounds. So you got like you have to work, to drink your coffee, and it was a joke. And then people demanded it, and it has sold out every time they've made this stupid mug.
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know that existed. So there's actually a game, Fire Emblem Engage, where there's a character who's like this really buff archer. Mm-hmm. And like, she's drinking this tea. And somebody goes to drink tea. He's like, why can't I pick up this mug? What the fuck? He's like, oh, it's like 60 pounds. I need to keep my bow arm strong. What are you talking about? So I didn't know it was actually a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. There's even another company that's started to actually mass produce them more often. It's like, well, if they won't make them, we will. Because some people, like, honestly, like, when people, like, in the lifting community, like, those goofy things would sell. Like, I bet you dollars or donuts if Yeti went out and made a Yeti drink thing, or like Stanley's, like, this thing's, 50 pounds. People freaking buy this thing,
I mean, yeah. It's
weird. Yeah.
Oh, is it Stanley, sir? Just get a Stanley cup.
That's
all. Where's the
Trump cup? That's what I want to know.
I don't want nothing made of
the gold cup with the T on it, just red, white, and blue.
I'm going to fall apart halfway through.
Find out it's all a lie. It's all a lie.
It's all a lie. It only keeps things cold for 4 hours, barely. Warm after two, actually. Yes, Jackie, the Dalton thing is huge. I want to be watching that, yes, but I thought about
canceling. What is the Dalton thing?
You're not watching?
Tell me what it is, because I'm missing it.
No. We're just going to talk about Dalton this morning, right home, but somebody was sleeping.
Had a rough weekend.
Hold on. I can where's the shade? Not what I used to
say. Yeah, I have no idea what that is either, but
Dalton is real quick. The Dalton story is about a mayor in the suburb of Chicago, little town of Dalton, and the super mayor has just gone crazy with power. It's actually just showcase you like while local elections matter, two, that the cops will do including putting you on a train car if ordered and paid to. These cops were willing to do this. it's a mess.
So this has been going on for a while, because I think I remember the story. I just didn't know it was Dalton. It was the name of
Dalton. Remember
there's a mayor who got was crazy, and she's in there. Yep. She used to be.
And it's not even the only.
She used to be some kind of dancer or something. Or I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. But like the other thing with it is, it's not even the only. Like, there's another Chicago mayor, right, on the other suburb who's just got indicted and getting picked up at the feds too, a couple miles away from this one. So it's just like, just a part of Chicago.
Jesus, yeah. That sounds ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole ridiculous story. It is a rabbit hole of crap. Nate the Lawyer does a great breakdown on it. I think he was one of the first YouTubers onto it. They got brought a lot of attention to it. Actual Justice Warrior did a good breakdown on what the heck is going on to it. So it's...
I think Legal Eagle did something on it, because I remember seeing the story. I think I might have
guessed. Yes, Legal Eagle did a video on it. What is going on, because his great video on why, because they did try to recall her, and his breakdown was showing like why the recall failed, because they had the ability to recall, but they couldn't elect in the same election. They did that step, and they couldn't do that. It was against the bylaws, so the mayor was able to keep their seat.
That sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot.
It sounds a lot like what's happening on Michigan LP right now, but that's another story.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. She didn't have enough meeting for the quorum tonight. Right. Yeah. 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 And declared a quorum. Declared a quorum. Mm-hmm. Declared it. We have a quorum. It's like, oh my God.
The latest updates, because I hadn't heard any updates. I'll get into it later. I'll look into it later.
Yeah. The other thing that I was like, that got me to be first watching it today, because I finally watched this video from DDP. You may know him as something Page. I don't remember.
Diamond Dallas Page. How dare you? From WCW.
This amazing...
Got him.
Anyways. So everyone knows about DDP Yoga and him going there and like healing and helping other people, right?
DDP Yoga is awesome. And anybody who doesn't know and doesn't know any of the stories about DDP Yoga, you should look it up. He actually has a whole thing on his website of all the celebrities he helped.
Mm-hmm.
The most infamous one is Jake the Snake Roberts, who it's like Jake the Snake Roberts who was dealing with a lot of alcoholism and all that stuff. The reason he's even alive now is because he went through DDP Yoga. Yep. Nick Foley does it, which that's the only reason he's walking around. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That man took so much damage to his body. And then, of course,
a lot of guys who didn't make it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, and of course, Scott Hall.
Yeah.
DDP Yoga is a thing that kept him alive for as long as he was.
Because
he was down a lot of terrible paths in his life. Mm-hmm. He relapsed into alcohol a lot.
Yep. Yeah, DDP's program, like the passion that he has at it, that he keeps going after and helps people just heal. The one video I watched that really got to me today was he did Butterbean. I don't know if anyone knows who Butterbean is, but he was this massive, like, super heavyweight boxer. You know, he's it's kind of a, I don't want to call him a gimmick. He wasn't a gimmick because he's a legit boxer and like just, he's 300+ pounds.
He won a match at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Yeah, think of the movie Popeye, the guy he was boxing. Popeye was boxing. It's kind of that's who reminds me.
Yeah, Butterbean is huge. You know, he's everywhere. Like this powerful, very large, super heavyweight boxer, and DDP finds him. Tries to help him out, and he's hunched over, barely moving, confined to a wheelchair. And I almost started like went to tears because it's like this is Butterbean. Talks about he can't get up to play with his grandkids. He's just stuck. You got to the point where he's like, you know what? I'm just gonna just gonna sit here and wait till I go, and you know, or I got 2 years left in this wheelchair, and watching DDP just work with him over the video, like getting him to move, because like he had a fused hip, he needed hip surgery, you know. But it's going through the yoga moves. I do a lot of yoga, right? So I've watched yoga heal myself and heal other people, and it is tends to watch these superstars, these major athletes that I've watched, you know, growing up and doing things. They're just so broken later in life, and they just start doing yoga later in life because of DDP. And even Butterbreeze is like, this just seems like, I don't want to do yoga. This seems girly. He's like, it's not. This is DDP yoga. It's different, but it's still yoga moves. He's just kind of like, I don't want to say he's tricking them, but he's just doing it differently. Took a lot of the spirituality out of it, just get them moving and get them more into the healing, getting them into the work. And you know, it's, I just thought it was very impressive.
I think the best way to put it is that he took his WCW persona and put it into yoga. He's wants to make people smile and be positive and happy and energetic. Mm-hmm. That's his whole thing. And he kind of took it in that way of doing yoga. Yeah. Instead of him making it about spirituality, he injects his personality into it.
Yeah, because he was also broken at the time, and he found yoga. Because he was on that move with everyone else. Pain, you know, I can't move. This hurts. This is broken. You know, and he's taking these massive bumps. If you don't understand, like some, you know, what it is to take a slam in the ring. Watch the timeline video of how the ring is built, and you'll understand. Like that freaking hurts.
That's just basically plywood.
just little foam. Yeah,
there's just a lot of stories in wrestling, yeah, that are really sad. I mean, you've got Ultimate Warrior, you've got Arn Anderson, you know, I mean, so Lex Luger.
Yep.
There's a lot of bad stories out there that,
yeah, there's a lot of just negative, and they put their bodies on the line for a lot of stuff, like Droz, who got his neck broken and is confined to a wheelchair because of power driver done wrong by D'Lo Brown and stuff like that. There's a lot of just that negative aspect of it. That
and Andre the Giant, he had so many back problems. And when he was filming Princess Bride, he couldn't, like, when he was supposed to catch Buttercup, whatever, I can't remember her name now. They had to kind of mock that in a way because he couldn't really do it. I mean, it was too hard for him. To mess with his back. He had a hard time standing up most of the time. So,
the amount of wear and tear that goes on a lot of these people's bodies, a lot of athletes especially, because you have to consider pro wrestlers athletes. Some people don't, but that's just wrong. Because, I mean, the stuff that they've done and do to their bodies is insane. But if you go to, if you went to DDP's page with all the celebrities, he worked with a bunch of NFL players who had it bad after playing in the NFL, MMA fighters, a bunch of, so he's worked with people to get them into a place to basically destigmatize yoga as a thing and put it into the faces of people who need it, or preventative measures, because there's a lot of current wrestlers that talk about, I do DDP yoga now. Like in between things while we're on the road, I just do it.
Yeah, like I tell people, like why do you do yoga? And it's like, hey, like before me doing yoga, as much as I do it, like I couldn't even think about throwing a kick. Now, like, shoot, I'll throw a kick at somebody. I feel great. I feel amazing. But yeah, it's that, because this is the mobility, the strength that we've had when we were kids, when we were young. You know, you've got to work hard to get back to that point. You know, so either you work at it and you hold on to it, or you're going to lose it. You have to fight to get it back. And it's, and the older you are when you start, the harder it is going to fight to get it back. The main reason older people fall when they get older is the toe balance, which yoga will help. It's not going to prevent it. Yeah, it's going to happen. Your body's going to age, but you can fight it off as long as you can by keeping moving and doing stuff like that. You know, like, I remember, because like it's just more like moving and doing it. Even the act of doing like the dead man's pose, like just Savasana, just laying down on the floor and getting back up, is most people can't do. a lot of people go like, well, I can do that. It's like, no, most people can't. Lay down on the ground and don't move, and then get back up. Flat on the ground, not a bed. Because if you understand, like most people, most Americans, especially in Western culture, you don't go that low. You sit in a chair with your knees at 90 or your bed at 90 or your other degrees, and you just kind of keep standing up. You've never just laid down flat on the ground in a while. Can you do it? You know, it's just one of those things. I enjoy it.
I can attest to how important the toes are to walking. Because Heather doesn't have any toes on one of her feet, and she falls from time to time because of it. It's very hard for her, and it's very frustrating for her.
Understandable.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's... DDP yoga is just... It's such a cool thing. Just if you go through... Damn it. But, yeah, going through to hear the stories of the things that the people he's helped, and the fact that he had done the yoga so much that he had his retirement match in AEW. Think about that. He quit wrestling in what, 2004, 2003, something like that, after going to the WWE. And then they ruined the storyline and he quit.
Correct. Yeah, because they destroyed his storyline and was really messing with his character. His
character and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then he had his final match 20 years later.
Come back.
And was still able to do like some of his moves. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sting. Sting did DDP yoga, and that man was jumping off of entrance ramps and stadiums. Mm-hmm. He took a...
My age, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like, if you go watch Sting's retirement match, which was like not even a month... I think it was like a month ago at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he was taking some bumps and some things that he should not be taking at that age and still be able to get up and walk. Like, getting slammed through tables and onto concrete and stuff.
And then letting him go out on top.
Yeah, exactly. Him winning. By the way, fun fact, he was the only person who said he should lose.
Yeah, because it's tradition.
I know, Sting goes, I should lose, I should lose. And everybody's like, no, you should win. And even his opponent's like, no, we don't need it. You should win. It's your legacy. You should win. With you and your two sons here dressed in your old paint. Because because when he did his retirement match, his sons came out as Surfer Sting and Wolfpack Sting. So the red face paint, the American flag face paint. So,
yeah.
This is a testament to being able to work through something in a manner, because Sting wasn't going to be able to wrestle because he took a buckle bomb wrong that messed up his spine like 5-6 years ago at this point, if not more.
I was gonna say 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Something like that. It was something like that. It was in WWE, so he took a bump that like messed up his spine, and with surgery and certain medications, and then the DDP yoga really helped him get his mobility and flexibility and stuff back to be able to do stuff like wrestle every week for like a month.
And it goes, I still do some yoga poses, and I will ask my yoga coach. I actually have a private yoga coach because I'm doing a yoga competition in 2 weeks. I will ask him, like, hey, I've got a friend. she needs, you know, you have some advice. If you've got a spine, you can still do yoga. You might be, you know, there's other like different things you can do without having to do the balancing series. But
but if you, for people who are like, oh, yoga's too girly, it's too feminine, blah, 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 destigmatize your concept of it. Just do the DDP yoga, because that's the easiest way to destigmatize it for some people that were like, that want to say it's not in their wheelhouse, they're too manly for this, et cetera, et cetera. Just go lift weights if you're going to get better, et cetera. That's the biggest positive, the DDP yoga.
Yeah.
Is that it demystifies it and makes it so that people can't go, oh, it's too girly.
Yeah. Well, just like a lot of people will sit there. Yeah. Cause they'll say, like, you know, just go lift weights. It's like, and I tell people, like, yeah, I leave some of my yoga sessions sore. Like, how'd you leave yoga sore? It's like, trust me, I'm doing moves that I'm sure you can't do. And if you do them, you'd be sore. Cause like, you're not lifting anything. I'm lifting my body. Trust me, my body weighs something. I still do the combination of the two. You know, it's a great thing. Get it out of your head. Yes. Are you going to go to class and you're going to be in a space that is probably 80%+ women in it? Yeah. But okay, women do it all the time when they do anything else in STEM or anything like that. So if they can come there and do that, you can go there and do yoga, you know?
Right. And yeah, the people that are like, people that I don't want to do that.
It's just got to be horrible for a man to go. It'd be horrible for a single man to go to a place where there's just 80%, 90% women. I mean, what would you get out of that?
Yeah. Right. Are you talking about my Friday? there are sometimes I sit there and I realize sometimes when I am the only man in class, I want to leave just to let the women have their, like, their little space. But then I'm like, no, F that. I woke up. I'm here. I'm early. I'm going to.
But then Harry remembers he's one of the girls.
So I am not one of the girls.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. But it's to the point. But like, even then, for the people that are like that, feel like there's a stigma to yoga that it's whatever because of years of mental programming slash convincing yourself it's one thing. Mm-hmm. DDP yoga is a good example to force people to see it, that it's more than just the flowery language and the fanciful names and the spirituality.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I liked about the DDP yoga. You know, he's not trying to tell everyone all the Sanskrit names. A lot of people try to get them out of me, and I'm like, I'm not telling you. This is what this pose is called. But what it's actually called, like, it's toe stance. What's the Sanskrit name? It doesn't matter. It sounds great, but who cares? You're just standing on your toe.
Exactly.
You know. I'm with you with that one. It's, yeah, just got to get it out of your head. Just freaking do it. Get in and do the work.
Right.
So like, that would be awesome. Also, two desks in my nest that are bulging and spinal stenosis. I would not take any advice. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll ask.
So people who don't know, you can just go to DDP Yoga. He has an app. He has DVDs. He has a program you can set up for yourself. Mm-hmm. He has a workout plan that you can set up based on what you need. You know.
Yep.
It's there. You just have to embrace it.
I got some yoga series that I do that was designed by someone who created the yoga series in a back and neck brace. It was kind of like silted up like this. She couldn't move. The whole yoga series was invented for that. You know, so it's perfect for people who, you know, have bulging discs and can't move your disc. You know, it's kind of hard to show someone because it's like I can do to an expression, and I've got to show like this is the full expression of it, and I'm doing this because I can do this, and if you can't, don't, because it's meant to heal you,
right?
You know, I'm only doing this because I've progressed past this, and I need to keep, because your body, like, so people see like poses of full aggression, like, well, why do you do that? Well, it's the same way you keep adding more weights when you lift weights. It's, you just got to keep making it harder because your body will adapt to the weight. You won't progress. You know, you're just like, okay, I can do that. I can do chair. Like, okay, when I do chair, put your leg up. Do chair, put, you know, go to the ground. But these progressing things, not because you're getting 100% of the benefit just doing in that one point. You know, you just go where you can go, you know, without hurting yourself, you know, the turlic. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I love yoga. Yeah. Got to bring yoga on the show. This is great. So we'll end the show because we're, as we get in here, the year of truths, as Cat Williams says, we're starting the year of truths. With all the other stuff coming out with certain children's television networks
and
movie stars at the end of March,
I refuse to look into it, see the Quiet on the Set stuff.
Can we watch that together as a group offline, of course, so we could heal with each other, cope with each other.
I don't know, man. I don't think I could do that. Like, I don't think I have the emotional capacity at this point to do that because the even the little snippets and stuff of like, yeah, Amanda Bynes just disappeared on set for hours on end and nobody knew because she just left with Dan Snyder and then she came back.
It all fucking makes sense. All of it just makes sense. Anyways,
that's kind of stuff. I was like, I don't think I can mentally go through this right now because there's a lot of stuff to unpack there. And mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like mm-hmm. this all kind of got kicked off because of the Jeanette McCurdy book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad my mom died. Yeah, that was mm-hmm. which was like the title was like, oh my god, why should you go? And you read like, oh my fucking god, I'm glad she did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's I think that's one step in the process. But it's been, I think, people like Corey Feldman and
talked about it for a while.
Brandon Fraser saying stuff, mm-hmm. you know, coming out and saying, and nobody was listening to him at the time. And then the Me Too movement hit, and Weinstein got. You know, mm-hmm. caught up in all that, and it started to kind of open doors, and people started feeling more comfortable coming out and saying this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, Jeanette McCurdy. I mean,
like that. I feel like that book really convinced people to start looking into the situation because there's a
specifically lot of, at Nickelodeon. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, Nickelodeon. There's a lot of like dark, weird stuff about Nickelodeon, and, like some of the worst stuff. Like I had watched a video before that documentary came out where they talked about some of that stuff. Like one guy was convicted for things with people there, went to jail. When he got out, he immediately got a job working at Disney on a kid's show with that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's a whole... It's a whole fucking thing.
Yeah, then there's the contest where they're trying to get kids to write things on their feet and send it in.
That tweet's still up. That tweet's still up.
It's like, yes, it's still up. It's still there.
God. Yeah, no. That.
So, with that being said, predictions for April and the year of truth.
God,
what crazy thing do we think is going to happen in April? We'll end the show on this.
It's more of this who else is finally going to get what's needed to come to them for a long time, you know?
In the year of truth, what are we going to find out this year?
God, I don't know, man. I'm just waiting for them to just cancel a bunch of shows because it turns out like the head guy on it had something that was real dark and messed up on top of everything.
What, like... Harvey Weinstein's assistant show?
That one's going to be... That's...
Because, don't forget, like, Harvey Weinstein's assistant has a show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's got a show.
I know.
At Disney, it's just a bunch of kids and her show.
Here's what's going to happen.
It's not about good or evil. It's about power. Who gets to wield it?
Oh god. I was gonna predict something ridiculous. I just think what they're gonna happen is they're gonna put the weird side dread swoop haircut for black people mm-hmm. that they put on every media thing. Yeah. They're just gonna make it like an official haircut on something for black people. I feel like this is gonna happen. This is just gonna happen. They did it to Eddie Gordo, dude. Yeah.
How much for you to get that haircut?
Absolutely not. How much for you to get that haircut?
Oh, 15 mil.
Yeah, exactly. No.
When they coming back with the play haircut?
Oh yeah. Oh, that one 2 mil. I did 2 mil for that one. That was 2 mil.
I heard Good Booger's coming back on a sequel. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and I saw sequel for.
Where Nickelodeon is, it might get shelved.
Yeah, that's why I know it was in. So I was watching a YouTube of a Looper put together a list of all the sequels that are coming out from old TV shows from forever. One of them was Ghostbusters, and they were talking about Beetlejuice, and
that looks good.
Trailer for Beetlejuice came out just the teaser for it.
Mm-hmm.
last week, and it was actually very good. It looks very good. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, there was a lot of like the princess one with Anne Hathaway, whatever. She's got it's coming back for a sequel. The Crazy Rich Asians 2 and 3 are getting ready to be filmed. My Big Fat Greek Wedding is getting a sequel.
Why is that?
So, a whole bunch of stuff.
Is it just money? Are they going to do Father of the Bride that all the way out to its infinity?
It's going to be. Well, I think if I understand the storyline is that her father passes, and his last wish was that they all go to Greece to see the village he grew up in. So that's the story, as they go to Greece and hijinks ensue.
Yeah, they're going to Father of the Bride that series to the end. Yep, that's fine. That's fine. All right. So, Reinhold, do you have any predictions of craziness is going to launch in April? And the year of truths.
Marjorie Taylor Greene and Hunter Biden are having an affair, maybe?
Oh, gee, God. Right.
Why would that be the real one?
Yeah, we'll start to get away from Reinhold. He's got information. So, yeah.
The band starts showing up outside his house again.
I know. There's a leak. We got a leak. Someone's leaking information.
Peeked into the Matrix.
Yep, I know. Now,
it's going to be one of the people that either Cat Williams or Monique talked about on the Club Shay Shay podcast. Mm-hmm. Somebody else of that group of men is going to get something fucked up is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Steve Harvey.
That's one of the reasons why they in the Beetlejuice sequel, the father dies, because Jeffrey Jones is not really employable right now.
Can't really. Yep. Just like if he's trying to reboot the Cosby Show right now. Just can't.
Just can't get your finger on the how to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, like you could if you take Michael Jamal Warner and just do the show. Just call it something else. Just call it Theo and just go with it.
Yeah, just call Theo and say, my dad can't be here. He's in jail.
Damn straight. Oh, I'm gonna watch that. Yeah. He's in jail for some malpractice.
When he was a doctor, he was messing with his patients, Yep. He was an obstetrician, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Obstetrician?
Yeah.
So he was messing with his patients and went to jail, giving them drugs.
Yep. Mm-mm.
That would work.
Yeah.
It worked for Roseanne.
Depends on who owns that. That might work.
That show.
I don't think Cosby still owns it. That was the thing with the Dogma and Harvey Weinstein, is that was one of the few movies that Harvey actually owned himself, as opposed to like the studio or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Kevin Smith's trying to, he wants to get it back, but he doesn't want to give any money to Harvey Weinstein because he thinks he's a dick. But he finally decided, hey, I'll put together some money, and they offered him like $1 million to get the movie rights back, thinking he could use some money right now, And I guess they came back and said no, they wanted a lot more. So it's just like, I can't do anything with it. It's not my movie anymore. So, and he's not going to do it. He's not going to deal with them. So that's why that was a funny joke.
Maybe there'd be a judge that'll go like, we're sentencing you to 20 years. You must also release the rights to.
It's like,
what?
If you ever go to jail, you give up all copyright ownership of anything.
He needs to do what he
Dogma to the Wu-Tang Clan.
Do what Taylor Smith did and just remake the damn thing.
God, Taylor Smith.
You get all the rights out of it.
Yeah. So my prediction for
there's no George Carlin. You can't really do that. Remake Dogma, but there's no George Carlin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying you can't replace.
Oh no.
George Carlin.
You can AI him now, and we find out we can do that with George Carlin.
Jesus. No, because that'll be the AI that takes over the Skynet. Is this George?
Well, they already did it.
Did they?
Yes, there's a movie or like a stand up special that they made with George Carlin being AI, and his daughter was furious.
Yeah.
He would be angry at,
Angry? That's an understatement, sir.
Just saying, like, I just don't want the AI to talk like George
Carlin. What was your prediction, Harry?
Well, with all the things going on, because we did find out that from the leaker this morning that the Russian government was is possibly behind Havana syndrome. I don't know if you saw that report this morning, Rahul. 60 Minutes. Man, it's great.
Havana syndrome?
Yeah. It was this weird syndrome, like of the suspect that the Russian government was using an energy weapon to cause damage to the holes in people's brains and stuff like that. Yeah. 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 And a leaker leaked out the information this morning. The report came out this morning. I should say that didn't happen just this morning.
New York Post?
Yeah. Yeah. Should be fun. Should be fun. You know, that's, just, I'm sure that was credible and backed up with sources. And,
MTG's talking about HAARP, Jewish space layer. Lasers.
Okay. Okay. There, so. All right. All right. That Jewish space lasers was taken out of context. And you know it. Okay. Anyways, my prediction for stuff getting leaked out here in April, because, like I said, I was going to go to the Russian I think a couple of things. I think we're going to find out that the Russian government's nuclear capability is not what it's supposed to be here in April. I think we're going to figure that. I think we're going to find that out. I'm not going to say they're going to be as bad as China's. So their stuff is not going to be, the meme of them going to be full of water. Not going to be like that bad, but I think we're going to think some leaks going to come out about that. The other thing I think is going to happen, I think. This whole Diddy thing's going to have some backlash. I think some stuff is going to come up at BET. That's what I think.
BET.
Yeah, I think things going to happen. I think things going to happen. I think heads are rolling.
Tyler Perry's going down.
I don't know. Weird stuff happens. Okay. All right. That's what I'm saying. Very rich man. That's all I'm saying.
If we're talking about BET, there's inside track we can throw out there that we.
Yeah, that's my prediction. I think something's gonna happen. People are talking.
That wouldn't surprise me, but this is how, with now all the people are willing to talk about certain things.
Yep. What's the only frustrating part to me about all that is that it makes the people who have the conspiracy theory that everyone in Hollywood is like that. It makes them think that they're on something, right?
Yeah, but you can fight about it. They're like that at everything, especially like I think the flat earthers are proof that you can't give someone enough data to get them off a conspiracy theory.
That's
because
true.
You can show people scientific data that the earth is round. Carl Sagan makes a Ghoul video from the 80s. And they don't even trust him. So what are you going to do? You can't.
I talk to people in the libertarian movement who swear that we never landed on the moon, and I'm like, dude,
you could prove it right now with some lasers. You could bounce off the moon and shine back. and what the fuck you think we're bouncing off of up there? Who put it up
satellite.
There?
Who put it's it a up
there? It's a rock.
And you can get a telescope and you can see the landers and stuff. It's like
you can see all this stuff up there. It's there.
Nah, it's fake.
But it's how many percentage of people believe that though? It's like 40% of people in the United States believe that. What do you do? You can't.
Right. Yeah. You can do.
And you're expecting these people to vote. And it's like, okay, they can't even figure out that we landed on the moon and the earth isn't flat. How are we going to get them to vote for the right people? Right?
And this is why people doom scroll.
85 Thanks, million Ronald. Votes. All right.
Thanks for verbally confirming my doom scrolling.
Yep. It's okay. It'll be fine.
Totally.
Anyways, thanks for everyone for tuning in. If you got this far in the episode, you're a true key holder, and that we thank you. This episode is recording 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Mondays, and we do live. Now, we won't be here next Monday or the Monday after that, because I'm not recording after the eclipse, and the next Monday after that, I'm just coming back from a yoga competition. And I'm not doing nothing besides soaking in hot water, so yeah. So we're going to be off for 2 weeks. It's going to be great. For me, anyways. And thank you for all the luck and well wishes. And hope you, all of you guys get into some yoga. It'd be great for you. But if you care to watch the show, we're also on twitch.tv/WeAreLibertarians, letter R. We're also on youtube.com/WeAreLibertarians. You can find us also on the Facebook page and look up We Are Libertarians and find us also on that network. It's going to be free. Or you just go to the website of AboutUsLiberty.com. You can also find us there. So thank you, everyone. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye, guys.